Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Give us all a moment to get here. It's great to see everybody. I hope you're doing well. So, we've got a practicum today, which I'm very excited about. I get to talk less, you get to talk more. Yay! But before we move into our practicum time, I want to connect us back to the module that we are just completing, where we've looked at visioning skills and principles around visioning and energetics of new things. And then last week, strategizing and different principles for strategizing, and also natural rhythms, which are so important. And I'd love to hear from you, either what's been moving through you around these topics, what's really been resonating, what have you been noticing as you've been practicing your visioning and strategizing skills, or some of the new, for those of you that are more seasoned, as you've been adding in some more of the nuances to the visioning and strategizing skills, anything that wants to be shared or spoken around this? Have you been having fun with your visioning? Seeing some yeses, shaking heads. Anything that wants to be shared on it? Victoria.
Hi. Yeah, so what I'm sitting with is, and I've been watching this in my client calls too, which is like, I love getting underground and I love doing the visioning and even the clarity around, like the tangibility around how it feels and all of that, like connective tissue work. But I'm realizing in my own practice, in my own work, and in my own life, that there's like a bit of a gap between like the practical, like apply it in real time, what does that actually look like part of the planning, and I just am like sitting with that for right now and just being like, there's like a, I don't know what to call the gap, like a practicality gap or something like that.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding. So are you saying that you're into the feeling and the energy and the vision, that you've got that, but then there's a, can we call the practicality gap the strategizing piece and then moving into the strategy? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, because it's like the strategy feels closer and then like that action, like that, it's the action port. Like I could stay underground all day. Like,
okay, so the strategizing is happening. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. You're having a plan. You know what the next steps are to move.
Almost, sometimes, a bit. Like that's the gray area. So it's sort of
okay.
Like
so spectrum. This is so great. I'm glad you're bringing this up, not just for you, but for like for all of us as practitioners and for ourselves, right? So not always, but sometimes a client might not be taking action, not necessarily because there's resistance or fear, although probably that's in the mix there too, but because the step before needs to be fleshed out just a little bit more, which is the strategy step, right? So what I'm hearing is the visioning feels pretty clear. And it feels like there's some, like, yes, there's next steps, but there's also some vague. So of course it makes sense that you're not actually taking the action if you're not certain on what the action is, right? Okay, so that's one piece. And again, I'm like speaking to you and also as a practitioner on both levels. So one thing that I want you and all of us to remember is back, and this is one of the reasons why I do the class on the energetics of new things, because it's really easy to forget. For new things, remember, we start partially in the dark. So we can't have, even on the strategy, for those of us that want to know, like, okay, and then I write this, and then another, like, we actually can't have full clarity on that in the beginning. We need to be willing to take some action steps without full clarity. That's part of the deal. Just like the first time I nursed my daughter and I had no idea what the hell I was doing, but I knew I had to nurse her anyway, right? So for where you're at, Victoria, what I would say is, tell me how this lands, go back. And if we had a full session, we would look at the strategy, right? But for now, here's what I'd say to do for yourself or with a coaching partner. And then this is important for all of us as practitioners, go back and see the strategy, even if it's gray, like you said, that you do have, and see, are there places that I can get a little more clear, right? Because if we can, we want to, and it might be, yes, I see I can do this, this, and that a little more. It might be that you need some consulting help with some of that, right? Sometimes the clarity does come from some other outside expertise. You can bring it to a Q&A call, by the way. And then where are the places where it's just not going to be clear yet, where you're still willing to move forward and to be in my sacred rhythms training yesterday, we were looking at the archetype of the fool and how spring energy, starting something new, we all have to be a little bit the fool, being willing to not be the expert, to not know everything, to step off the cliff and not exactly know where we're going to land, but take the step off the cliff anyway, with curiosity, right? So there might be some actions that you're like, no, I am not willing to do that until I get more clear. Beautiful, honor that, but see where you can find your edges on some of the others. All right, I just spoke a lot. What is clicking for you in what I was just sharing? What's feeling important, either personally or practitioner-wise?
What was really coming up for me was like the baby steps and the small steps that, like, almost like just like, what's the next step?
Yes.
That's right. Like bringing it as close in as possible. So you could like feel the next step. Like, I think it's that feeling. It's like that embodied action. Mm-hmm. Like if it's too big or too far out, I lose the feeling sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Beautiful. So tell me how you feel about this. I kind of want to issue a little bit of a challenge, which is to pick what that next baby step is this week. And even if it feels uncomfortable, to take it anyway.
And while I take it, I think I'll be tracking the feelings of taking it.
Yes, but exactly. So exactly what you said, decide what the baby step is and embody it, feel it, and then take it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Golda.
Hi. I'm feeling a little ungrounded, so we'll see how this goes, but there's a couple of things. I love and I had the opportunity to focus on the elements of a good strategy with a new client, and yeah, just really like having the structure, the loose structure inside of that. And really can see how like identifying a feeling, like feelings early on, and yeah, having the foundation. And so it just, it all clicked and it was lovely. And then the other, I also want to out myself of like, I feel like I've had a lot of, and you know, like I've done a lot of like, pro bono coach sessions with people who feel like they're just not in the visioning place and they're more like wintry. And I could feel like, yeah, I just outing myself, like my, I mean, it's very gentle frustration, but like also accepting that. Yeah, and allowing that, like really appreciating the reminder that it's all seasonal and it's all, it's just all welcome. So I'm just naming that little noticing about myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if this is, I just want to pause here for a moment, because I don't know if this is part of what you're sharing, but I want to make sure I'm clear. It's very useful for a client to start working when they're with a coach or a practitioner, when they're in the winter phase. So if you've got any of that frustration of like, I'm doing this pro bono and they're in the winter, and so they're not in the right place to work together, I want to invite you to shift your thinking on that, to look at, okay, how can you support them in the winter and through the winter phase till they're ready for the visioning?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And then the last is a question. I'm curious to hear your thoughts around like SMART, the acronym SMART goals. And yeah, if you're willing.
I heard it. I know it in the back of my mind, but I don't remember. What does it stand for again?
So the way I use it is specific, measurable, achievable, right for you in this time of your life, and having like some time to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of those pieces we covered last week. What I'll just say is that, you know, I always come back to this, always coach the what based on the who. In an ideal world, specific and measurable, of course, we want that, right? But similar to actually what Victoria and I were just looking at, sometimes it can't be that specific, or sometimes it's not exactly measurable. And I think it's important to hold space and flexibility for some of the mystery. Like, yes, we don't want to just have our clients go and just take actions that are completely undefined, or they don't know if they do, or, you know, it's not, you know, none of that. But I think sometimes we can get too boxed in with those, it has to be this, versus let's be willing to be a little bit of the fool and experiment and not, or not quite know, and see what's going to happen with. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. I'm not sharing that as truth, but for everybody to consider for themselves.
Yeah. And I love that, because what I'm noticing about myself inside of all this is like to allow, yeah, just some of the ways in which I've been rigid and hyper-masculine and just like super structured, you know, and just to allow a lot of that to fall away. 'Cause it does resonate with me more to be more.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's finding the aligned balance of that. And it's going to look different in every situation and with each client and where they're at. But yeah, to just allow for a little bit more of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Great question. Susan.
Hi. I had sort of a realization last week about the energetics of the style of worker that you are. And I'm definitely a sprinter, I think, but I'm a sprinter that's been kind of forced to be a marathoner the past 2 years. And I think I can feel it. Like I can even feel the emotion today, just even expressing that, because it's just sort of dawned on me that that is what is creating this sort of languishing feeling that I have. Like I go to do a tiny little piece and that's just, I don't want to do a tiny little piece. Like that's not how I like to work. And I am really frustrated. So I think I think, well, it's good to recognize that and just to say, okay, that's, you know, how I work. And, but also I couldn't sprint and then go to a full-time job during the day. Right. So, and I did do that, you know, several times or for a long time. So, so I think maybe creating, some retreat times, you know, maybe like full weekends and times that I can really pour in and be all in and not feel like I have to stop at a certain time. You know, that's so frustrating to me. Like, I'm so mean to my husband, like, we're supposed to go do something. I'm like, God, you know.
So true. When we are disobeying our natural rhythms, we are not fun at the dinner table at all.
Very resentful.
So I, Susan, this feels like a next piece of some breakthrough for you that you've been working on. And it reminds me of our conversation about taking a little bit of space before jumping in to you know, getting your business up and going. And now this next piece, it makes so much sense, right? Because if you're a sprinter, you're not, it's not going to be the slow burn. So it is really important to honor a space and a gap so mm-hmm. that you can replenish yourself in a kind of bigger space way. And then what, as you're saying, then the next piece is, instead of just doing a little bit of work every day, to almost think of your work in these like retreat times where you're sprinting and then you have recovery time, but you're getting to use all that energy that you have in your sprint and, you know, to move forward like that. That feels to me, based on what you're sharing, for you and your rhythms, a sustainable plan for getting more ready for retirement and having the business ready.
Having more time. Yeah. So yeah, it's exciting to realize that and like, okay, how can I work the way that I work best? So thank you. And the visioning with my partner was really gratifying from the coaching perspective, like seeing the light bulb and seeing almost a complete 180 reversal of where they were, you know, because it was, I kind of, in our coaching time, we used the visioning as kind of a problem solving tool actually, in that for something that was bothering, I don't see her here, bothering her. And so it also gave me another way of looking at using visioning as a tool for problem solving, as well as just sort of like going over, over a whole, you know, your whole vision, but you can also have a little vision for how can we solve this problem. So in a different way. And so.
Absolutely. And that was actually a point that I wanted to make today. So I'm glad you're bringing it forward. We actually ideally are going to be visioning in every single session that we have with a client. Like Susan is saying, it might not be like the big overarching vision or the big goal, but we're going to be using our visioning skills, for example, for each strategy or action step that comes forward. We're going to be supporting our clients to vision the next conversation they want to have with their sister or whatever it is. We're going to be supporting our clients to vision what it might feel like if they did do that big social media thing, or whatever it is. So this is why it's a foundational skill. Yes, we want to see if we can get to a little bit of a bigger vision in the beginning or whatever point, but every session we are using our visioning skills. And I love what Susan is saying. Part of it is problem solving for sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good.
Thank you.
Kathy.
Hey. It's so funny that I had almost exactly the same thing as Susan shared, is that I wasn't sure even it was a sprinter, but that's what it is. I have to work on things. I need all my time to work on the one thing, as much as I can until I get it done. So since you brought those up, I've been trying to accept that. And, you know, because I've always been that way, even in a corporate job. Mm-hmm. And so I think your response to Susan was I think helpful. I'm thinking, like for example, and I want to think how to recommend the clients as well, but who are sprinters. Here's an example, because I'm transitioning from working with corporate clients to individuals. Well, the marketing is totally different. It's a whole different business model, really, because it requires creating emails and social media posts and all of this content. And I try so many times to take time daily to do it, but it's really hard for me to just be consistent like that. It's just, so I guess I need to sit down and write it all.
Yeah, or at least chunks of it. So yeah, at first it might be a little annoying, right? To see this about yourself and know this about, but you know, whatever it is, but it's so useful because you can now go and set your schedule up to accommodate the natural rhythm and set the strategy up to accommodate the natural rhythm. So I'll give it just a personal example. So my whole life, I've been a marathoner, right? So I actually, like, I'm like the slow and steady and write this section of the sales page and and with curriculum too, over, you know, all of that. And that really, really works for me. That being said, and I haven't been, I'm just starting to share this just a little bit. So I'm going to share this with all of you. I've started writing a book. It's a memoir. It's a personal book, and it's a lifelong dream. And so when I started writing, I approached it as a marathoner because I am a marathoner with everything else. And I was like, I'm going to write 250 to 500 words a day. And I'm going to give myself a half hour every morning. And I know myself, this is going to be great. And that did not work for me at all, because for this kind of creative writing and me, it took me just 45 minutes of like garbage writing or not staring into space to get into it. And then I'd be really into it and I'd feel like obsessed to keep on going. And so after a couple of weeks of this, I was like, oh, wait, no. For creative writing in this way, or at least for this book, I'm a sprinter and I need to have certain weeks in my schedule where I know I have 2 or 3 days in a row of 2 hours each where I'm just fully submerged in this. Anyway, I hope that's helpful for everyone. It's just like the recognizing and then not fighting against it. I've been so much more in flow with my writing because of it. Great. Okay. I love all the shares and the questions around the visioning and strategizing. It sounds like some really great personal and practitioner things are happening. So our practicum today is almost at the halfway point of the program, if you can believe it. And one of my intentions for the practicum is for us to be exercising and stretching and more deeply embodying all of the foundational skills that we've been looking at: energetics, listening, various ways of creating awareness, breakthrough questioning skills, visioning skills, and strategizing skills. And the way we're gonna work it is I'll invite a volunteer coach and a volunteer client. We'll have a session and we're all gonna be observing and looking for all of those skills. And I'll give some specific instructions around that. So as I said, it will help us all embody more, go deeper with it, be on our edges with all of these skills. For those of you that are going for certification, this will also be, when you submit your halfway point certification recording for the team to review. We're going to give you very specific feedback. And what we're going to be looking for are all the things that I just shared: energetics, deep listening skills, breakthrough questioning skills, creating awareness skills, visioning skills, strategizing skills. So you can also, for those of you going for certification, you can use our time today to kind of get more of a feel of how are we bringing all of those into a session. For us all to kind of get even further into it and prepare, I've got some questions for everyone. So first of all, when it comes to energetics, right? We started off with energetics, but really we've been talking about energetics the whole time, right? So your beliefs, perspectives, the energy that you bring to your clients, to your containers, how you're setting up containers, the energy in the containers, all of it. When you think about where you were when we started at the end of March with energetics, and where you are now with energetics, what are one or two things that you really want to celebrate? What are one or two things around energetics? Maybe a particular client session that you remember, or you're recognizing that you're more on an equal playing field, or you're a little bit more leaning into I'm whole and complete, client is whole and complete, or maybe you've tightened up how you set your containers, right? Probably there's a lot of things. What are some things you want to celebrate around your energetics and how you've moved forward in the last few months with that? Maybe you're less scared of clients getting angry at you. You're more willing to be wrong, to not always have all the answers. Anything around energetics that you're noticing has shifted for you? And I'd love if you want to share in the chat maybe what is feeling, what you're excited about there. Sheila's getting less swept up in clients' energy. Nice. It's huge. Nisha is definitely less worried that your clients will be mad at you, and you have more faith in your ability to repair. Also huge. Yes. That faith in the ability to repair in case someone does get mad, it's everything. Susan is leaving space to let questions land. Yes, not rushing and tightening up the beginning and end of session container. Yeah, so you're at spaciousness, letting things land, not rushing and tightness. Beautiful, so big. For Raquel, the benefits of a tight container and then the pitfalls of a loosey-goosey one. Yeah. Kristen is more comfortable in the mystery of where a session is going. Huge, yes. And with more trust that what emerges is what is needed for the client. Beautiful. So let me ask everyone, when it comes to energetics, what is your next edge place? So what I mean by that question is, Where's the next place that you're ready to embody the highest energetics? Or where's your next place to work on? Maybe that's a better way of asking the question. Where's your next place to work on when it comes to energetics? These are great in the chat. Yes, yes. So what's the next place to be aware of, to work on there? These shares are so great. They're all huge, huge. Pre-framing. All right, let's keep on going. Let's think about deep listening skills now and where you were in March and where you are now. And I guarantee everyone has at least one place to celebrate on this. What do you want to celebrate or note or acknowledge in terms of how you've deepened your listening skills? Are you maybe checking your filters more often? Are you maybe listening with more curiosity? Are you maybe listening more, not just for the what, but for different aspects of the who? Are you starting to maybe through all of that, listen between the lines a little bit more? What's something that you want to celebrate when it comes to your listening skills over the last months? Maybe before you weren't really aware to be listening for what the client isn't saying, and now you are. Maybe you're listening more to the client's energy. What do you want to celebrate when it comes to listening? Helen's saying, I'm finding it much more natural to witness as an observer, conscious not to impose my own values or beliefs onto what I'm hearing. That is listening at its highest. Yes, I'm finding others are a lot more comfortable being vulnerable with me because of that. Beautiful. Taking more time to let things land with me, listening for deeper meaning, not making it about me with respect and compassion. Yes. Nisha is pausing much more, which allows more time for yourself and clients. Beautiful. Yes. Okay, so if there was a next edge place in terms of listening for you, or a next place to go further with your skills or to work on, something that you maybe want to start to be, maybe it's the next thing to be aware of, maybe something that you want to be listening more for, or a quality of listening, what's your next place that you want to go to with your listening skills? All right, I know I'm moving us through this somewhat quickly, but I'm going to continue on. Let's think about creating awareness skills now. So everything from plain reflection skills, reflecting harder truth skills, honoring what is, normalizing acknowledging and celebrating? What are some things when you think about where you were in March and where you are now with your creating awareness skills that you want to celebrate? What's really moved forward? What has really evolved for you? What are you starting to master? What do you want to celebrate? I love all of these shares in the chat. And I forgot, Susan H. is also bringing up the listening to yourself. That's part of a listening skill. I'm glad you're putting that in there. Yep, sharing our truths with respect. Yes. Beautiful, good. There's probably more than what you're even noting as celebration. See what else, because there's a lot around creating awareness that I know each of you have moved forward on. No matter where you started with it. The soft toss, yeah. Consensual, yeah. Honoring what is good. And then the edge place. Where's your next edge place with your creating awareness skills? Where do you want to go deeper and work on a little bit more? What's your next area of improvement? Reflecting hard truths, yeah. Going deeper with honoring what is. Yeah, and just for everyone, like when I'm asking about next places and edges, I want you to use this as inspiration, right? So when you go into your next session, set the intention, for example, Jessica, to go deeper with honoring what is, right? Remind yourself beforehand, set that intention. Practice it in your practice sessions as well. And also for some of this, you can do this with yourself, right? So again, for example, Jessica, maybe make it a daily practice of honoring what is for yourself as a way of also building that muscle. Okay. Taking more risks, yeah. Okay. Breakthrough questioning. What do you want to celebrate around your questioning skills? Maybe it's just simply you're not relying as much on consulting anymore and you're asking some more questions than you did. Maybe you have been working a little bit on reducing the amount of yes/no questions you've been asking and opening your questions up more. Maybe for you, you've been working on getting more concise in your questions. Maybe for you, you're using more of the client's terminology, or you're bringing in more of that principle of choice. Maybe you're getting a little riskier with your questions. What's something around your questioning skills that you want to celebrate? Maybe you're starting to ask different questions. For those of you that are more seasoned, you're not only relying on the old go-tos. Having the courage to ask the bold question that goes straight to the heart, yes. Asking the client, what's a question you would like me to ask you? Such a great trick, yes. Getting more bold, not relying on consulting as much. And then an edge with your questioning. What's an intention of where to go next with questioning? And remember, none of these have to be big things. Like it's the smallest little modulations, the details that sometimes make a difference. thoughts. So for Kristen, get more concise with the questions. Good. And then I'll give you all another moment. Not for Bruce to not ask a question on top of a question, always one of my edges, yes. All right, and then visioning and strategizing, what do you want to celebrate? What's different? What's been moving forward for you since we began when it comes to your visioning skills and your strategizing skills? And then the edge place as well. What's next for you? For one share, I'd love to hear if anyone just wants to share overall, what are you seeing from this little kind of work and exercise that we've been through? What are you noticing? What's feeling important? Anyone want to share? Well, I will share, even though we're not supposed to be attached to outcome, which I am not, one of my hopes in going through this is that you see how much has moved forward already. You all, whether you started with decades under your belt or not, you've all taken in so much and have learned so much and have places where you've moved forward beautifully. And I really hope that you can each see that. And I really hope that you're also excited for getting to the edges. Okay, so with that, we need, and like I always say, when I ask for volunteers, I'll hold a moment to see who raises their hands in the Zoom function. And then I'm going to kind of just like randomly, intuitively pick who I think would be just of the greatest good for all for today. I need a practice coach. So a volunteer coach or practitioner. We're going to be coaching for about 22 minutes. So who feels up for doing some demo coaching today? Raise your hand in the Zoom. All right, I saw Marla's go up first. So Marla, I'm gonna go with you. Thank you. And Infinity, thank you for volunteering. And then we need a volunteer client who's got something that they'd like to bring forward today. Susan, thank you for volunteering. All right, so Marla and Susan, you've got 22 minutes. I'll keep time, but Marla, you also keep time. If you go over the 22, I'll let you know and ask you to bring it to an end.
Yeah, that's one of my edges. So I just have a quick question. Am I supposed to try and hit all these highlights or just go for it? Because
I mean, you should naturally be using all of those foundational skills. Just you don't need to think you should be asking questions. You'll be creating awareness. Obviously, you're going to be using your listening skills, and just see how it goes. There should be some visioning and strategizing.
Yeah. Okay. That's the pressure for me in 22 minutes. Okay.
Remember, it's a short session. You don't have to get to the end. So you're all good.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. And this isn't, we're all going to learn, right? This is all for all of our learning. Oh, and I should say, I was just going to run off and have you start. For everybody observing, I want you to be really with your practitioner hat on observing and taking notes, right? So what are you noting is going really well by way of all the things we've been looking at, energetics and listening and creating awareness and questioning, all of that. Also, what are some things that you might do differently as you're listening? What are some different questions you might ask, some places where you might pause, different reflections you might make, et cetera? All right, take it away.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hey, good. Glad to be here.
So before we begin, I would just like to say I'm very direct. If I say anything that doesn't sound right to you or goes over any kind of line, please let me know.
Hey, I will.
So what is it that you would like to accomplish in our time together?
I am still trying to get some clarity about how I want to go about retiring. And it was interesting because it just came up again when thinking about being a sprinter versus a marathoner. So I had been leaning towards doing what is offered at my company called a phased retirement, where I would start and go 4 days a week, first 6 months, 4 days a week, second 6 months, 3 days a week, and then fully retire by next summer. The only reason why I would do this is because, so I really want to explore whether I can really let people down, is because I would really be letting my boss down if I retired before next June when he's retiring. And that I feel like it's important. I've been at this place for almost 20 years and been working with this boss for over 10. We've been in this foxhole together for a long time, and I want to have an elegant ending. I know that if I were to retire earlier, it would be not received well. And so that is one reason. And then I'm thinking, ooh, is one day a week, the first 6 months, going to give me enough of that sprinting time for me to feel good? I mean, I already have an established coaching business. I already have a website. I already have some things, but okay. Sorry. I'll let you talk.
I'm getting a pretty good picture here. You've shared a lot. So it sounds like you're nearing retirement and you're contemplating what's a graceful way to do it that balances your needs with your sense of loyalty to other people where you work.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if I were to make the decision, like I was just thinking when I was coming down the stairs before this call, like, oh, I should call HR and get started on just putting it out there that I'm thinking about the phased retirement. And then I went, nope, I told myself I wasn't going to make this decision. I'm eligible when I turn 58 on July 30th. And I told myself I wasn't going to make this decision until July 31st, the first day that I truly can make the decision, because I'm not eligible yet. And this is not, so it also in retirement, I'm not going to be collecting any kind of retirement money until I'm 65. So I'm basically quitting my job with a pension that will be coming later, but I will have no income when I retire. So,
okay. So one thing that I'm noticing is your stress level like goes up and like bubbling around and then it's pushing you into your head. Do you feel that? Does that sound in the ballpark?
Yes. I've been mulling this question around for a long time to exhaustion of like almost just like make a decision, damn it, you know, and be with it. And I've gone around and around. I know there's no right decision or wrong. Let's put it this way. There's no wrong decision I can make, you know.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I'm feeling the pressure of time here.
Yeah.
So and it's funny because so are you.
Yeah.
Right. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just kind of relax, ground into your body, and let's answer from a more grounded place. Let's pop you out of your head back into your body. Does that something that you think you might want to do?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so just breathe and deep down. Mm-hmm. And what would a graceful exit look like from your job? How would it feel?
I guess it would feel like I gave everyone enough time to get used to find my replacement. It would not compound the stressful situation that's going on right now at work, which is like right now is not a good time to even bring it up to anyone. It's a very, very stressful time. We have our accreditation visit in October. And it's almost like between now and October is not a good time to bring anything up. So bringing something up with a year time frame would be a lot softer blow than peace out, dude, I'm out of here as soon as possible, which is kind of how I...
Okay, so it sounds like giving them a year, say a year from October, would be good for them.
Yeah, or till June from October, you know. Okay. And our end of our academic year is end of June. So that's okay. Usually when faculty leave, usually.
Okay, so the next thing is, how would that feel for you? Forget about them for a moment.
Yeah. Yes. I am afraid that it's going to feel like a slow water torture for the next year. I am afraid, but I don't know. I think I wonder if one day a week, or I could do two if I consider like a weekend day, of being able to work on my business would be enough to feel.
Okay, so let's go with that. And then so get back into your body. You popped out a little bit, back into your head. So how would it feel if you gave notice at the appropriate time and pop down to, I think you said one day.
Yeah, I would start with one day a week and go to two. And then, I would start with working 4 days a week for the first 6 months. And then I go down to 3 days a week, the second 3 to 6 months.
So bring it back in. How does that feel? Forget about all the, you know, how does it feel?
I don't know, because I think I'm too messed up about, I'm too loyal. Like you said, loyal. I'm afraid I would feel so bad if I were to just leave. But I'm also afraid that I won't that won't be enough time for me to feel good about what I'm doing. But okay. then I, well, this is where I get around and around. And then I think, right, no, right. you know, a year goes by really fast. And if I'm really, I could be teeing myself up to launch in a good way by doing a lot of this work.
So
the next year,
what I'm not sure I might be hearing is you're going to a little bit either or, because you're talking about a graduated leave, and then you're like, but what if I left abruptly? But
yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know. Not being very articulate.
It seems like you're bouncing between, I'm going to screw him if I leave tomorrow, but you're not going to leave tomorrow.
No, you know, the earliest I would leave would be the end of, would be December. So I'd stick it out through the, so here's how my thinking is. I would like a day now, like I need some relief from this languishing now. And this phased retirement would give me that immediately. I could say, I want to start the phased retirement August 1st, and boom, I would have that day. Versus waiting until the end of December and then having all day, every day. And it would also make me feel better about the way I'm leaving. So that is where I've been leaning towards. But then when I was just thinking about my sprinter style, that I was started to just question whether that was really going to work or if it was going to be still torturous. But
well, you really can't know for sure, but you can sit more. So what we've been doing here, and we still have some more time, but just to set this, because I don't want to wait till the last minute and cram it in.
Yeah.
Sit with what would it feel like, and then test out your different scenarios for the leaving part. The other, I'm sorry, is that?
Yeah, I'm just writing that down.
So I know I'm like trying to rush. So
yeah, that's okay.
So the other part that I'd like to touch upon is the so there's how you feel about, you don't want to leave anybody in a lurch, mm-hmm. and you're not going to. Right, just because I can see you're not going to, no matter how you leave, however you decide to leave. I know that's just my opinion. So let me bop over to the other sides. There's how they, then it's how you'll feel about leaving. But the third piece is, what do you need for your business to get it from the level it is now to where you want to go, given your sprinter tendency and what you really want to do?
Yes. I have been blessed that I seem to get these clients from places, and I haven't done a whole lot of marketing, et cetera. So I need to create some sort of marketing strategy. And I mean, I haven't had a ton of clients, but I've had some, so I've been able to actually work as a coach. And I think I would like to take this boot camp that I've already created and make it into a workbook mm-hmm. that either can be I can sell for, you know, a little bit of, or so I'd like to work on that. Rather, I won't go into the details. So create a workbook that would be a lead magnet of, it would also be an opportunity to get onto podcasts to talk about my book. I could go do different retreats and such and have a table, and it would, and so I think that has been an idea that I've had. And build my list, my email list. I'm not that great at social media, but I'm getting better. And I'm not sure that's where I get clients anyway. I think it's kind of established me at this point as part of the community, the alcohol-free community out there, but it's not where I get my clients. Most of the clients I've gotten have been from me being on podcasts. So I think, you know, I need to keep that as a strategy because it seems to have worked. So now, can I do that with one day a week? Well, I think I'd have to pick part of the strategy and do that the first four, when I first 6 months, and then add something the second 6 months. Yeah.
So would you like a suggestion?
Yes.
So it sounds like you have a lot of things on a list that are just like kind of out over there. What if you, for the first step, is maybe prioritize those things and see how you can do them? I mean, I know it's not completely linear, but you know, where does the boot camp fit in? And match that, and then see really what you have and see how much time that you would need to, you know, for sprint to do this, sprint to do that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does. I'm an organized person and I can do that. I think I don't do it because I'm afraid the answer will be you don't have enough time. And then my personality is like, oh, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And I just press in. So,
okay. So
it's okay. I need to, you know,
It's funny. Here we are back at the time.
I know.
So how much time is enough time, do you think?
I have issues with time. Yes. How much time is enough time? I mean, how much time is enough time? That's a good question. I don't know. I never feel like there's enough time. So I guess that is an issue.
that would be something to look into, but for now, how about we do this? You say you already have clients, you've got a boot camp, you're taking, you're upping your coaching skills.
Yeah, I'm loving what I'm learning here. And I love coaching. Like, that just rocks my world. I just, you know, part of the job is to find the right clients. And I don't like to talk about like getting clients, because I would like, it seems like the clients that are right for me and I'm right for them just come to me. And what's interesting is I haven't had any new clients in like the last 6 months, but I don't have time for new clients right now. So like, it works. And I'd rather actually be spending my time right now doing this work and increasing my skills and then be ready for the next wave. They seem to come in waves. So
I think two things. Like, first of all, that goes back to the time thing, the time theme. The other thing is, I'll just put this to the side, is that you probably have, well, you can tell me, do you think you have control over whether you take on a client or not, and if you have time for them, assuming you get one?
Remember that? Well, yes. I mean, if I don't have time for a client and they come to me, actually, they seem to not work out. Like, the discovery call, the client's like, I think I'm gonna wait, or blah, 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 even though it goes really well. Like, it seems like it doesn't work out when I don't have time. There was a time last fall when I had a lot of clients. I probably had too many, and maybe I should have controlled that and known that that was, but I didn't, I didn't know that was too many until I was in the thick of it. And I had to, I really wanted to make sure I was there for my clients. So the thing that suffered was my family life, you know, my husband. And he was fine with it for a short time, and that was fine. But I also, so it was a good learning lesson of like how much is too much. So
now you know more what your limits are.
Yeah.
Within that time constraint, which will help you make decisions moving forward. And at this point, I kind of like to say, hey, you have been doing this with whatever time you got now, working on how much you've accomplished, and you've got clients and you're upping your skills and you've got this boot camp. Do you want to just take a second and let that?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
what's going on there? If you care to share it, I mean.
I don't know, I'm so emotional. I've been feeling like, I mean, the things that I think are like, I did it all wrong. I was, you know, I pushed too hard in the beginning and came out like, you know, the sprinter, and now I'm the person at the back of the line limping along. But so this time when I regroup, I want to do it differently, you know. And so we worked on that with the visioning with my peer coaching partner and really got into how I want to feel about what I'm doing. And so so that's going to be a slower pace, which I think is an interesting dichotomy to being a sprinter, and how is that going to work out, you know? But I'd have trouble recognizing my own accomplishments, but I did do a lot. It's funny because I created the boot camp right out of the gate, and then I was like, moved on to something else and then thought it was crap. And then when I was moving it from the platform it was on into a new platform, I'm like, no, this is actually really good. What was I thinking? You know, I kind of abandoned it. I do that. I chase the shiny objects and abandon things that I've done and kind of like move on to the next thing. So that's also something I'm learning and trying to. Anyway, I don't know why I got so emotional.
Well, I guess you could go back and listen to this recording and see what you had to say. I think that maybe it's a little hard for you to celebrate and feel good about what you have accomplished.
Yeah.
And you might want to like switch a little bit over from what you haven't done, what you did wrong, to what you did right, what you're doing right.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm really sorry, but we have to kind of wrap it up. We still have a little bit of time.
Thank you. I have had clients cry right at the end of a session, and I'm like, okay, we have to go a little over here, but no.
We'll see if we get that allowance. But for
about 2 minutes to wrap.
Okay, 2 minutes. So what is it that you would like to leave here with today and take with you and go forward?
I liked, you know, your idea of sitting with what it would feel like. And honestly, it is a story in some ways that I'm making up in my head, not story I'm making up in my head, but I'm assuming people will be pissed off if I leave earlier than a year. And that may or may not be true, but sit with what it would feel like to, with this, the different scenarios of leaving, and also what it would feel like with the different scenarios of having one day and then 2 days and then out. Just sitting with the feelings. I think the feeling, it's the secret is, I tell this to my clients, the secret is in the feeling. So the answer is in the feeling. So I think that prioritizing and maybe committing to sticking with what I prioritize and not chasing shiny objects. Like, could I just do what I said I was going to do in that time frame and just leave it at that and not feel like I'm always needing to do more? So that makes sense.
You snuck that one in. So I'm going to sneak in one last parting question. Not to answer here because we're done.
Yeah.
What would happen if you left and people were pissed off?
Yeah.
I think we have to close it there. I thank you. This has been really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think you're doing great.
Great job. Thank you.
For you.
Yay. Yay, Marla. Yay, Susan. Such great work all around. Okay, so Marla, let me ask you first. What's one thing that you want to celebrate from the session?
Yeah, so like Susan, I'm not good at looking at that part. I think that it was helpful for Susan. It felt like it really was helpful for her, even in that short time.
Yeah, yeah. Good. And is there a specific, I'm going to push you a little bit, when you think about skill or something specific that you did or a way of being, what is something that you want to celebrate? What's one thing that went really well?
I mean, I think, so obviously I felt the pressure of the time frame. So given that constraint, and here's where I want to go to, I was flustered and I expressed that, but I did put it on the table. So I think that's a good thing to just say, hey, you know, this is to share that and to be, I felt like on the same, I felt tuned in. I felt yes. We were like vibing.
I agree. You were right there with her. You could feel that presence, that you were tracking her the whole time, and you were right there with Susan the whole time. Absolutely. That was so well done. Good. Okay. I want to open it up to the rest of the group. And first, let's focus on things that you noted that went really well. What did you note went really well? What were some things that came through that you're like, oh, that was good?
So I noticed that the moment that brought more emotionality into the session was when, Marla, you chose to celebrate what Susan has already accomplished. And you took a moment to really acknowledge her and to uplift that. That allowed there to be a deepening.
Yeah, yes, thank you. It was that moment. And I didn't even catch that, so thanks, Infinity. But now I'm remembering it was right beforehand. Marla had really acknowledged Susan and for all that she accomplished, exactly what Infinity just said. And then that's what kind of allowed for that emotion to come through. Good. Who else? What else did you note? Maria.
One thing I think went well was Marla was like, look, I'm straightforward. I'm a straight shooter. This is how I work. If you're going to work with me, this is what I got. Call it like it is. And then so it was real, right? She didn't have to play something different. Yes. And I feel like that was really genuine.
Agree. I noted that too. And what was on the end of that was, and so let me know if I go too far or if I cross the line. So it was establishing, like you're saying, it was authentic and genuine, but it was also establishing that equal playing field. I have a tendency to be direct, but also you client know what is direct and too direct. And please let me know. I am open to that. It was a beautiful way to, you know, that part of establishing the container. Bruce.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say as well, too, just putting that right out front, and I'm direct and we only have so much time, and setting that container and those expectations right up front was great, just to get things moving. And then somewhere in the first 10 minutes or so, she worked to slow her down. You know, there was a point, it was, you know, let's just slow down here and kind of noticed her, she was noticing her energy. One of the things she did was notice her frenetic energy around work, but then also helping to slow that down to where she could embody, you know, just feel, allow for whatever needed to come up. in that moment. So great yeah, comment. Just the courage, both of you, to volunteer. First of all, I didn't have the courage to do it. So for you to do that, Marla, is awesome. The coach.
Absolutely. It was such a masterful moment of listening and creating awareness, right? The listening to the client's energy of, when Marla reflected, it was like, oh, it's, I feel your energy's up here. I forgot the exact words that you used, right? But that was such an important thing to listen for and create awareness on. And then even Marla used the tool afterwards. She said, well, does that sound in the ballpark, right? So it wasn't just saying that's what's happening, but it was the listening, the creating awareness and leaving the agency for the client. Marla, I know that you were stressed for time because you said it a few times and I could feel it. And you did then slow Susan down. I was wanting you to actually go even slower. So when you, after that, when you asked Susan if it was okay to slow down, I would have given her a few more moments to actually get into her body and have that space before asking what the next question was. I think you know that intuitively. I think it was because, but I'm bringing it up because I want everyone to remember, even if you feel like you are a little strapped for time, slow down to speed up, always. Victoria.
I was, yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to, with the demo style and the time frame and all the things that have been shared at the end, Marla had asked really that like magic the question of what are you taking away from this? And it's something that I think even with, the demo style and the whole structure of the coaching session, I think that it's such a grounding moment to always ask. It's like a magic question. It's like a way to for the client to articulate, and the session might be a blur, but they'll remember that too. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I'm glad you're underlining that always. I mean, I say, there's no rules, but I feel like that is one of the few ask for takeaways or what the client is receiving. Yes. Golda.
Just a quickie. I super appreciated when Marla asked consent for Susan to, it was like, are you open to a suggestion? I really appreciate it rather than just offering it.
Yeah, so important, asking, can I make a suggestion? Yes. Lisa.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I thought Marla did a great job of reflecting back things and pulling out important parts. There was something specifically I'd noted at the very beginning where Susan had just talked about the retiring and a few things that meant to her. And she said, kind of reflected back. So what I'm hearing is that this is about retiring and balancing your needs with those of your boss and the company. And yeah, just felt like a nice way of bringing that together.
Absolutely. It was a really nice way. First, even before that, I want to remind everyone the way Susan ended it was, I forget exactly what you said, Susan, but it almost like I said too much or I'm all over the place or whatever it was. And first Marla totally normalized and acknowledged and said, I'm getting a really good picture. And then she went into that beautiful reflection that Lisa just shared. The reflection was great, as Lisa just said, and also just that little acknowledgement of, yeah, I got a really good picture, right? To normalize the client feeling like, oh, I said too much or whatever it was. Kathy.
I really love this, Marla's strategy and question of after Susan shared her situation, simply asking her to breathe and get quiet and ask, what would be the ideal way for this to unfold?
Yes. That's a visioning question, right? That was visioning right there. What would be an ideal way for this to unfold? Yeah. And as you're saying, Kathy, not coming only from here, but from here. Okay, good. Infinity. And then we're going to move on to some things that you might have done differently. Infinity.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I had a curiosity along those lines.
We're moving okay. in there.
And so it's like, you know, what I was interested in and would have been curious to dive deeper in was the relationship between not wanting to let people down and like that kind of like inner conflict of like, because there's like the strategy level of like, okay, well, what do I do? And, you know, what's right for the business, but also just the underlying, maybe the emotion of the wanting to be loyal, wanting to really care, to leave in a good way, but also just, I just got curious about those inner parts of like, Susan, if you feel you can, you know, if it went the you could wave a magic wand, like what would that look like? And if people could actually celebrate your transition and really support you. So I would have, been curious about that.
Absolutely. And Nisha is adding to that in the chat, exploring the guilt. And from the get-go, Susan said, even in the beginning, what she wants to receive, there was a part in there that she said, you know, and can I really let others down? Right. So we knew it like infinity, and we knew it from the get-go. I want to remind everyone again, there's no rules in a coaching session, do this first and then that, but a good guiding principle for a lot of the time is before you get to the strategy, get to some of the inner pieces if you're hearing that there are some snags. So I'm so glad, Infinity, that you're bringing this up. And some of the questions that I wrote down, because as it became clear, like this loyalty piece, as Infinity just said, was a biggie, I also would have wanted to explore. So maybe asking the client, what are some of your beliefs about loyalty and what it means to be loyal? Where did you learn those beliefs from? What's the line between aligned loyalty and self-abandonment? Those were kind of some of the ones that I just happened to jot down, but there was that clear, as Infinity was saying, like there, that was a clear snag. And Marla threw it in at the very end, like a parting thought. But I would have brought that in earlier. Lara.
So well done. I really, really respect what you did, Marla. That was amazing. Both of you too. So one piece that I really was curious about was her fear of talking to people at work about her plans. And I would have wanted to see more about that, and also the possibility, you know, because she has a lot of beliefs around how they feel and what they want. And it doesn't sound like she's really communicated with them and really asked them, how do you feel? And this is, you know, tell them what she wants, what she wants to get out, and then ask them how they feel about it. So that she really has that clarity before she spends the next, you know, weeks, months, and another year worrying about it.
Yeah, that's an exploration piece and a possible strategizing piece. It's funny because it wasn't actually until the very end that Susan said, well, I actually don't know how they would feel like that. It became clear that it was an assumption. I was like, right. So exploring that and a great possible next step if the client would be willing to do that. Susan almost started to mention that on her own. And that might, in a full session, lead to a little bit of visioning around how do you want to have that conversation? How would you want to bring that forward? Golda.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a piggyback on what Infinity shared, and something that I just noticed where like the gold is often in, like at the very beginning, Susan actually like joked around. She's like, yeah, I have an issue with disappointing people. And it was like, because the energy of the way Susan shared that, and also there was a couple other, there was, I have an issue with time and I have trouble acknowledging my own accomplishments. They were said in a, like a different way that were, it was just the energy around the way they were said that like, I would have hooked on to those, like, even though they were said not playfully, but they were just said in like a laughing energetic that they could easily be missed, but like, that is where the gold was. And that is where like the, right, those deeper layers, to be with.
Yeah. Such a great reminder for listening skills, right? We want to listen for energy shifts when someone says something, and not always, but often if it's saying something deep or important, but with a lighthearted air, it's like, you said that, but don't look at it. But that's when you want to look at it. Good. Victoria.
One thing that I circled in my notes was the identification as a sprinter. And I would love to get curious and slow down around that, and like really sort of what does that mean, what does that feel like, you know, kind of get a body awareness around that being the process, and then just like leaning into the curiosity of like, this is like the transition of your life, it's a big transition. So like, I guess the curiosity would be like, is there an over-identification going on? Like, is there, just by spending time there and working it, would there be, this would be the inquiry, like, would there be a loosening of that identification as a sprinter? Like, could there be other solutions that come up that way, or, you know, new possibilities opening up from there?
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of that also happened a little naturally towards the end when Susan was like, okay, I don't have to focus on all the thing. Like there was kind of this alignment. I can focus on this and this thing first. And, but yeah, it's always, I think part of what you're speaking to, Victoria, is, sometimes when there's a breakthrough like Susan had around sprinting, which is awesome, and this understanding, we also want to make sure the client doesn't go too much in that direction either. Like, find what is an aligned sprinter for Susan. Lisa. And I just, Lisa, before you go, I just want to honor that we're almost at time. There are a few other things that I want to add too. So anyone that can hang on for an extra couple minutes, please do, or else we'll have the recording. Lisa.
So one of the things I had some curiosity also around was maybe some defining of the intention at the start of the session a little more. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's something I need to work on as well with clients. The clarity around what, because I think Susan asked, her intention was for clarity around retiring. And I would have liked to have asked some more questions about what that meant. Is it clarity around a date? Is it clarity around the strategy? Is it about how you want to feel? Is it another thing? What does clarity mean in this instance? So that we can, yeah, see where we go with that throughout the rest of the call.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote down what is the actual intention, because I wasn't 100% clear either. And to that point, just for everyone, a little tip or a little trick. If you have a shorter session, like Marla and Susan did, or if it's a regular session for you and you ask in the beginning and the client brings up something really big that you sense you might not be able to get through in the time that you have, spend a little bit more time in the beginning clarifying an intention that you sense can fit the chunk of time for that session within that bigger, kind of more general thing. Great. Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, I was also curious about the loyalty, because you mentioned loyalty more than once in there. And then that in the short time frame, I had the coach really put all these things in. But what I got curious about really up front is like, what else is of value to you in making this decision?
Say that again.
What else is of value to you in making this decision?
Yes.
No, not just loyalty, it's value to you. And then exploring those different parts of your around value. Yes. And then what, just one last thing that came to me, because this would have been me, but I would have done it in a subtle way, and I would have given my opinion, but I wouldn't have said in my opinion, but I would have done it subtly and thrown out my opinion. Rather than that, and I appreciated, you know, Marla's like, in my opinion, and I was like, and that just like me, I'm like, that would have been me, but I would have done it so subtly and just snuck it in there, like my filter, you know, would have been turned off, and my biases would have been turned on, and that's what I have to like pause myself for, slow down. It's like, no, I don't need to go with that. This is you know what the client's bringing to this work, not what I want.
Yes. So I made a note about that too, because Carla made this reflection. She said, you're not going to leave anyone in the lurch. And then she said, oh, that's just my opinion and let's move on. And I know Marla, again, it was like that there was the time issue.
I caught myself, let's just say that.
Okay, but here's what I wanted to say about that moment. That was a beautiful reflection where you were really seeing this human being in front of you. It is so clear that no matter how Susan in the end chooses to exit, she is gonna make, even if it's in 4 months from now, that she's completely out of there. It is so clear just from the little that we heard from her today, that who her character is she's not gonna leave anyone in the lurch, no matter what she decides. So it was such a beautiful reflection of the human in front of you and an assurance around all of this. What I would have liked you to do after that is not say, well, that's just my opinion, move on, but say, can you see that about yourself? And then let that sink in for a moment. That makes sense?
It does. So when I say, I said it and then I thought, oh, I'm imposing my view.
You already told her if you cross a line to let you know. And it was such a beautiful thing about her and her values and who she is as a person. So anyway, that's my thought. That's just my opinion.
and that's what I felt, but I was having trouble expressing that and it came back.
No, that's why I'm just giving these little tips for adjusting around those things, because it could have, I think it was a little bit anyway for Susan, but it could have been this even bigger moment of taking in, hey, no matter what I choose here, I'm not going to leave anyone in the lurch. I can choose for myself, and I know that I am also loyal enough that I'm going to take care of some things too, right? Okay, there's a couple other things, but first, Dawn, just to answer your question in the chat, the other tip I was saying before is if someone states an intention that is bigger, like really, really big or bigger than the time that you sense it's bigger than the time you have together, ask some more questions. You can even say, you know, I'd love for us to get to that intention, but I'm not sure if we have the time for that. Let's get to the, like, what is the next intention within that? You know, as an example, or let's clarify whatever it is. Okay, just a few other small things. I think we hit almost everything, but a few other things. Susan, the first time she mentioned this, it hit me. And then she said the phrase again, water torture. And I don't want to make any assumptions about what she means about that and what would be the water torture and why it would be the water torture. But there's something important in that that I think is actually also related to what Bruce brought up in terms of her desires and what she really wants. And so I would have wanted to explore a little bit more, like what is the water torture? What would feel torturous about staying in these ways, et cetera? Again, these are just, you know, not just different directions and things for people to think about. There was a moment when Susan said, I see that it doesn't work out with a prospect. It's never worked out with a prospect when I haven't had enough time for the prospect. And because the two of you had been talking about time and time was a big thing in this, I would have reflected that higher wisdom and that truth back to the client so that they can see when they're not giving themselves enough time, the growth isn't happening. And just kind of like let that land. And then from there, from that knowing of that truth of like the time for the business is required, maybe ask a next question. I mean, I wrote down very quick, this might not be the exact question, but something like how much time do you desire to devote next to your business or something around that. When Susan said, I don't know why I got so emotional. And again, I know it was a little bit of a time thing, Marla. That was a moment to lean in. I would have leaned in, I should say. And I would say, yeah, I can feel that emotion. Why did you just get so emotional? What is going on there? Right. So instead of answering, you eventually answered the question for her. I would ask the question back to the client. And then there was a point towards the very end where Susan said, I don't have to do all the things at once. That felt really important. I know Susan got it. Just my personal style, I would have reflected that again and really let that land a little bit more. Such good stuff. So well done. Thank you. Thank you, Marla, for your beautiful coaching. Thank you, Susan, for being willing to be our client. I hope that this was really great learning for everybody all around. Thank you, everyone, for the wisdom that you shared and contributed. It's just so exciting to witness all of it. Such good stuff.
Thank you, Marla.
Thank you, Susan. And I would just like to thank everyone for the great feedback. I really appreciate it.
I'm so glad. All right. I'm sending a lot of love for everyone. Maria's putting in the chat asking how this was for you, Susan. Maria, thank you for saying that. I usually, you know, say we've just spoken a lot about you, Susan and
I. It was good. I could see myself as a client and a being the client at the same time, which was kind of interesting. And like, it was good though. I got a lot out of it, and then a lot out of us pulling it apart and took lots of notes. So Marla did a great job, and I got some clarity of what I can, my next steps. So that's great.
So
thank you.
All right, everyone, sending lots of love. Bye.